This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all. So you're a job guy.
And now, another celebrity PSA. That's public service announcement for those of you in Rio Linda. From Off the Hook Radio. Because we care. Sorta. Not really.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. Reminding you to stay safe during the quarantine. Make sure you wash your hands and wear a mask if you go out in public. And, just enjoy some music today. Oh, I gotta go get back to a pork butt.
Oh, good for you. He's got a pork butt. I've got a COVID butt.
You bet.
What?
Yeah, you.
Well, that's not good.
Well, I'm still up.
Well, you stuck at home.
13 pounds. I've lost 7, but
you know, if you didn't have like people to do your yard work for you and stuff like that, you wouldn't be up 13 pounds. But you know, you don't do your yard.
It's 100 friggin' degrees out there.
Yeah. It was 91 today, and the feels like was like 98.
We got snow Friday.
I'll let the Mexicans do it.
They're calling for 7 inches of snow here on Friday, and they're calling for 10 degrees on Halloween night. So you know what? You don't even go.
I'm not going trick or treating. The kids in my neighborhood are gonna be so upset.
Why?
Because I'm the guy who gives out the full size candy. I'm famous.
So you're not gonna give them out this year?
I ain't gonna do shit this year.
Why? COVID?
I'll put a sign up on my door. Cough, cough.
What a cringe.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Well, you know, what the fuck am I going to do? I'm going to sit out there with a goddamn mask on.
Why not? You're not doing anything else.
Yeah, what else you got to do?
I got four days to think about it.
There's nothing to think about. Go buy some goddamn candy bars and don't be a cheapskate.
I can't get full-size candy bars anywhere now unless I go join up to Sam's Club or something again, which is dumb. I got to pay
has full-size candy bars?
A $35 membership to buy $100 worth of candy to give away.
Okay.
Yeah. I get it through Amazon or over there, but my membership ran out 2 years
ago.
All
right, so just remember, you've been the awesome house. Now, when your light is not on this year, you're going to be the dickhead. So just remember, you know.
I don't really think there's going to be very many trick-or-treaters. I'll just grab a few bags of the small shit.
You're going to be known as the
dickhead. We have trunk-or-treat here in town.
Trunk-or-treat?
Where everybody goes up in their cars to the green, and they park around, and the kids go from car to car.
Oh, for God.
And they call it trunk-or-treat.
You guys hold hands and sing Kumbaya, my lord.
Too. No, it's not so much that. It's that houses are so spread apart here in
yeah. No,
the boondocks.
We do that. They're doing a bunch of the trunk or treats here. All the official sanctioned county ones are canceled because of our COVID spike here, but there's lots of places still doing trunk or treats.
Yeah, there are a bunch of places around here that have canceled it too. But anyway, welcome to Off the Hook Radio for October 27th,
2020.
You bitch.
Not her fault.
It is her fault.
It's not her fault.
I used to like Baba Walters until this year.
Really? Like
she's still alive.
I think she's still alive. And we only get to use her for a couple more weeks.
We got a lot of our normal stuff we need to talk about, including the big story of the night that just happened. But before we get to that, DJ Slim has a problem and he needs to vent. And I think we should start there because I don't want him keeping this in for the whole show.
Well, no, it just pisses me off that today I'm in work and I get a text message from my daughter. You know, it says we're in a shelter in place. And you know, these days,
terrorist attack, school shooting, something really serious. Yeah. What was it?
No clue. Oh, it ended up being nothing more than just a COVID related incident. Someone in school tested positive for COVID and the health department.
And they locked everybody down.
They locked the school down. Well, yeah, they actually did. But the problem I have is that the school, even now at 10:05, you know, they still have yet to say anything about this. And my daughter actually recorded the announcements as they were, you know, making them. She had her phone on and had her camera on, Gracie. And she was recording the announcements. And even the principal on the announcements, you know, he said on this is not a laughing matter. This is a very, very serious situation. We, you know, we're and you know, they the only way we knew about this is with the kids that who illegally have their cell phones in school because they're not supposed to have them in there. And my daughter's been told, you know, you are to always have your phone in your pocket. I don't care what they say. And any teacher that tries to take it away, as long as you're not doing something on it, you shouldn't be. But if it's in your pocket, they have no reason to take your phone away at all. And if they do, I will be there to get your phone back, and they'll never touch your phone again. Because, I'm sorry, Mike, if the school is not
in a private school.
If the school's not going to let me know that something's happening, I need to at least hear from my daughter. And again, it's here 10 o'clock, and still they have yet to say, you know, anything at all, that there was an incident at school or a COVID-positive kid that was removed and 12 classrooms quarantined. I mean, they don't tell us this, but, you know, 12 classrooms of kids were put into quarantine and one COVID positive student removed.
See, my kids don't have these problems. My kids have been calling me lately about investment opportunities. You know, it's just a whole different set of things. CB, what do your kids call you about? Oh, your lawnmower.
Well, it was the lawnmower that wouldn't start, and I was trying to diagnose it from 100 miles away.
For your son-in-law.
Yeah, for my son-in-law. And which we got to figure out. It's the battery.
It is the battery.
It is the battery.
That's not that hard.
No, it's not. It's just it's difficult to do from this far away.
Yeah, from 100 miles away, it's a little rough. Yeah, I grant you.
So, but we got it done.
Well, DJ Slim is like our new justice of the Supreme Court. He has school-aged children at home.
I do. Two of them.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Cry, bitches.
Yeah.
You know. Hell.
I ain't thrilled.
What, you're not thrilled? Why? Do you need an abortion?
No.
Well, then there isn't anything you should be worried about. She interprets the laws. What we got is now 5 justices on the Supreme Court who expect Congress to make the friggin' laws. And if Congress makes the laws and they'll say that's a constitutional law, that's fine. You can do what you want. And you got 4 of them on there, or three and a half of them on there, because you never know where that dickhead Roberts is. But you got 3 of them on there that says, no, we're going to make the laws because we're the third branch of the legislature. Well, no, you're not supposed to be. That's not how the Constitution works. And the people don't like it. I just say, fuck you. Why don't you study up before you open your mouth? That would go for like Schumer, Casey Hirono, Cory Booker. Well, I'm sorry, but the Constitution's worked pretty good for 230 years.
Here's the problem with being a textualist.
Oh, you couldn't find the right to an abortion in there if you're a textualist.
No,
okay.
That's got nothing to do with it.
That's the biggest non-textualist decision.
Number one, Thomas...
We're going to Thomas Jefferson.
Gore Bush was right up there. Well, Gore Bush was up there.
The evidence was there for that, though. But go ahead. Go to Thomas Jefferson.
No, there isn't.
Or Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, I can find the quote. Where is it? What was it that Jefferson said? Come on, baby.
Just remember, you're quoting a slave owner, though.
Okay. I understand that.
Just saying.
He still was important when it was writing the Constitution. On every question of construction, carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted. Recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, conform to the probable one in which it was passed.
Yes, and
it's called interpret it.
A textualist does not ignore the intent of Congress. The intent of Congress
is
well, it's part of the argument.
Well, no, they do, because they won't take into account the debates that took forth in front of Congress to make a decision as to what they meant when they wrote the law. See, the problem with it is that when a case goes before the Supreme Court, it's because the law is muddy. Textualists assume that every law is written perfectly, and they're not.
All right.
Well, you have to interpret it.
We'll get into a fight about it because it's on some things I can point to where I could say you're absolutely right. And then there's another half a dozen things I point to where I could say,
you can't have dogma rule you when it comes to something like this. And Amy Coney Barrett is there for three reasons: to overturn Roe v. Wade, to overturn gay marriage, and to make sure Trump stays president.
She's not going to overturn gay marriage.
Sure, they are.
No, she wasn't. She's never.
Scalia said that equal protection under the law only applies to blacks.
Minority.
She's a Scalia disciple. So, mark my words, those three things are going to happen.
No, it won't.
It'll be interesting. It very well could.
No, it won't. And even if Republicans are chomping at the bits to get rid of us. No, they're not. No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. They don't want to lose elections for the rest of our lifetimes. The thing is on Roe v. Wade and gay marriage, that even if it did get overturned, which it won't, every state in the country has their own say on it. This is a country made of states. And you know, one of the best issues is the biggest bullshit issue that Biden's running on, and that's the coronavirus thing. Trump let the governors control their states, and now every Democratic governor in the country is blaming Trump for all their own stupid decisions. And he served it up to them. One thing Democrats are better than the Republicans at is politics. They are fucking vicious. They are the pit bulls of politics. And the Republicans are mostly chihuahuas. And the only thing standing in between our country and the pit bulls is Donald J. Trump, period. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. By the way, Joe Biden, he doesn't even know who the hell he's running against. Slim, you got that?
I do. I wasn't ready for that one. But yeah, I've got it. You ready?
Go ahead.
Hold on.
Country we're going to be. Four more years of Georgia. He's going to find ourselves in a position where if Trump gets elected, we're going to be in a different world.
George Trump.
Yeah, George Trump.
I think he said George A. Trump.
Well, we can listen again. I mean,
that's what he said.
Oh, well, here.
Country we're going to be. Worse. Four more years of George. Going to find ourselves in a position where.
I told you it was George A.
He was trying to get George A out there, wasn't he?
I told you.
Oh, my God. This guy's a fucking joke.
I don't know who George A is.
But speaking of a joke,
chicken cross the road?
No, the big story tonight is Tony Bobulinski was on Tucker Carlson for the full hour. And I'm not going to bore everybody with all the minutiae, but the bottom line on it is he has firsthand knowledge that Joe Biden has been lying about his involvement in the Biden crime family extortion of countries all around the world. Basically, he's Hillary Clinton on a smaller scale. I mean, the Clintons took in $500 million. I mean, the poor Bidens are only up to like 40, 50 million, it looks like. But they could find more. I'm just saying, you know, but I mean, compared to Hillary, he's a piker. But he did.
She was good at it.
He did do a lot of this shit while he was the
Senator. She was.
She was. Look, there's a couple things Democrats are good at: being very dirty politicians, stealing money, and circles. They do great friggin' circles. Did you see the 40 people that showed up at Biden's rally today? They all had perfect little white circles to sit in.
You know, I told you in pre-show, I line baseball fields. I can do circles.
Okay. But you are a talented individual. You can make owls out of wrenches. Okay. Not everybody can do these things, CB.
That's true. It doesn't fly very far, though.
Talented man. Plus, you make me laugh every Sunday. So you definitely have skills.
Yeah, I'm going friggin' mowing my lawn this coming Sunday. Fuck football.
Well, the bottom line on Bobulinski is he has firsthand knowledge.
The Bobulinski line?
His name is Tony Bobulinski. He is a former military veteran. He was a Navy officer. His brother just did a full hitch 20-some years. His grandfather was a big deal in the Navy. He is a proud patriot. He's also a Democrat. He's also never contributed to a Republican in his life. He was picked by James Gilyea and Rob Walker, who are the two people that basically kept cokehead or meth head Hunter Biden on track, setting up the Biden family crime family. They brought him in to be the CEO of a new company they're putting together called Sinohawk. And Sinohawk was doing a deal with CFC, which is a Chinese conglomerate that is controlled by the Communist Party of China. He met personally with Joe Biden to discuss him coming on board as the CEO for this company. So every time Joe Biden says, "I don't know anything about my son Hunter's foreign dealings," he lied. We already knew he was lying. There's pictures of him with the guy from Kazakhstan and Hunter. There's pictures of him with the guy from Burisma and Hunter, and the guy who went to jail, who was Hunter's other partner. So he knew about this shit, but he says he didn't know about this. Well, now we got a guy who has firsthand knowledge, heard it from Joe Biden's lips. He knows all about this stuff. He was in a meeting at the Chateau Marmont in 2017 in May in Los Angeles. He met with Joe for about an hour and they discussed everything. And he knew about it. Now, the Chinese company, CFC, dicked around about the $10 million investment they were going to make for the Sinohawk company. $5 million of the investment was to go to be capital funding to get the company going. The other $5 million was a loan to the Biden family. A loan. That's a $5 million interest-free, never have to pay it back loan. Damn. Now, most people call that a freaking bribe. But we'll call it a loan. That's fine.
That was nice of them. Can I get one?
Yeah, that's nice.
They dicked around about getting.
Can I change my last name to Biden?
And Bobulinski thought something was going on. He wasn't sure, so he contacted Hunter in October to say, "Where the hell's the money? Am I getting cut out of this? You know, is this thing going to hell or whatever?" And Hunter Biden told him that he signed a deal to be the personal attorney for Chairman Yi of CFC.
Wait a minute, who signed?
Hunter Biden.
Okay.
Hunter Biden has a law degree.
Okay.
And he was the attorney for the Communist Chinese chairman of CFC, which meant anything they discussed was what? Privileged. All meetings between Hunter Biden and Chairman Yi were at Chairman Yi's $50 million penthouse apartment in New York City in person. No text, no phone calls. Gee, only
that's a smart way to do it.
That's the way the mob did it.
Yeah. I mean, we have talked about this before.
Bobulinski also found out that while he was waiting for this $10 million to show up, because this guy hadn't been paid one dime, he'd been flying all over the country trying to get this thing done on his own for 5 months, that Chairman Yi of CFC and Xi Jinping, the head of the Chinese Communist government, were in Moscow the 4th of July that year. And the deal that they put together was that CFC was buying 14% of Rosneft, which is the Russian state-owned oil company, for $9 billion. Hunter knew all about it. Mr. Bobulinski didn't know anything about it. He said, "Well," he goes, "I'm going to shut up because $10 million ain't nothing compared to $9 billion. And now we're talking about Russians being involved with communist Chinese and everything else. I'm not sure I want to be part of any of this crap." What these guys had deals in place, like, I don't know if I said this or not, with Oman, Luxembourg, Romania, Kazakhstan, and France in 2015 and 2016, before Mr. Bobulinski came on board, Joe Biden was the sitting vice president of the United States when these deals were put into place. All Joe Biden's money, according to texts from Hunter Biden on his laptop, Hunter Biden had to give 50% of all his profits to his dad. So when Joe Biden says, I never accepted foreign money from anybody, he might be telling the truth. He accepted foreign money that went through his son, so he accepted it from his son or his brother. China didn't write him a friggin' check. You know, he went in the basement for 5 days after the story broke.
Well, that's so he didn't fucking screw it up even more.
Yeah, well, get what did he release the day of the final debate? His 2019 tax return. His 2019 tax return showed $900,000 in income, 900 and some. Okay, the problem was he didn't show the 2017 and 2018 ones, which totaled over $15.5 million. So we don't know where that money came from, but at least that's what he declared, $15.5 million. So I'm saying, compared to Hillary, he's a piker, but it's still a lot more money than you and I have, or anybody listening to us probably has. The other thing that pissed off Bobulinski, and the reason he came out with this stuff, and this is the other important thing that I have, other than the phone tape, was that Schiff, who's the idiot behind the impeachment, the guy is psychotic. He went on TV and said, it's all Russian disinformation, all this stuff about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Jim Biden, the brother. And then Biden at the debate says the same thing. He says, people have said it's Russian disinformation. Well, yeah, Schiff said it on TV. Then the TV people parroted it. Then he got 50 partisan people who used to be in the intelligence community to say, sounds like Russian disinformation to us. Then Biden's going, it's Russian disinformation. Bobulinski was in the audience. He said in the interview tonight, it was all he could do not to stand up, scream, you're a liar at Joe Biden and walk out. Okay. He was mad. He had told the Biden family that if they came out and disavowed what Schiff said, that he's not a traitor and he had nothing to do with the Russian or anything else, by Friday midnight, a week ago, he wouldn't go to the press. He wouldn't tell anybody nothing about nothing. He would keep it hushed up. They wouldn't even do that. So he released all the shit. He gave everything to Giuliani. The lawyer gave stuff to Giuliani from the Hunter Biden laptop. But all of Bobulinski's stuff went right to the FBI and right to Tucker Carlson at Fox News. He gave them everything. And they have documents. This stuff wasn't stuff Bobulinski wrote. This is stuff from Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, James Guillier, and Rob Walker. All of them talking about the Biden family enterprise, the Biden family money. Even when CFC finally gave the $10 million, $5 million of it went to the Bidens, $5 million of it went for this company that Bobulinski didn't want nothing to do with at that point. When they reported it out, they didn't say, we invested $5 million in Sinohawk, the company's name here in the United States. They said, we invested $5 million in the Biden family. That was their friggin' press release from the company. And the most interesting thing, and we've got some backup here on tape, but one of the most interesting things we don't have to play for you tonight, but we heard earlier, was Bobulinski talking to Rob Walker about he's going to go public with this stuff. And Rob Walker, in his own voice, played for America this evening, said, and I quote, you're going to bury us all, man. You're going to bury all of us, man. Meaning him, his friend, and the whole Biden family. Now, at the very beginning, when he called Joe Biden a liar, we do have that part, right?
I had both parts. I don't know which one you wanted me to pipe and queued up on.
Hit that first part.
I was drilling down with Joe about cap tables and details.
So you said that they wanted you to meet Joe Biden as a way to induce you to participate in this deal. You were the actual business guy here who had management experience, deal experience. But it also sounds like Joe Biden was vetting you to some extent.
Yes, of course. Like, I didn't request to meet with Joe. They requested that I meet with Joe. And, you know, he's putting his, and Hunter says this in writing, it was referenced multiple times, they were putting their entire family legacy on the line. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were dealing with a Chinese-owned, you know, enterprise run by Chairman Yi, CFC, that had strong financial support and political support from the Chinese Communist Party. That's how it was presented to me. That's not my own words. That's how they presented it to me and read me in on it. And
they being Gillier and Hunter
they
Biden.
They being Hunter Biden, who was very proud of that and taking credit for it when I sat with him for 2 hours on the patio of the Chateau Marmont in L.A.
Proud that they were doing a deal with the Chinese Communist Party?
Well, proud that they were, that he had the relationship with Chairman Yi, who was running CFC, and the ability for them to get deals done around the world and stuff like that.
You've seen a number of journalists.
There you go.
There you go.
This is, you know, before you go on to the, I do have the phone call, but, you know, this happened today, okay? Tucker just went crazy. I mean, he just pretty much dropped a bombshell that pretty much no other media network is going to touch. We talked about this on pre-show. Fox News is the only ones that are going to cover this. And guess what all the other news networks are going to cover tomorrow morning? The riots in Philadelphia, because right now they're tearing Philadelphia to fucking pieces.
Well, the National Guard's supposed to be there.
They are nowhere to be found. Absolutely nowhere to be found. I'm following a couple. That's why I'm being quiet. I'm reading and following threads. They are tearing Philadelphia to pieces. So that'll be all of the headlines tomorrow on CNN and MSNBC and NBC. But you want the? I do have the audio clip where. The bury them audio clip if you want.
Oh, you do have it now. Okay, go ahead and play it.
All right, here we go. Oh, it's not playing. Why is it not playing? I have it. It's sitting right here. Play. It won't play. Why won't play?
That's kind of funny.
But I do have it. I just don't know why it won't.
To do that, we don't want, you know, press trucks out in front of our.
Hold on.
Trucks out in front of our house. I'm going to have to move. Okay. I could lose my job. All that, you know, I'm not trying to cause any harm to anyone in this situation,
right,
let alone Rob Walker and his family, James Gillier and his family. But basically, Rob's position was, if you go on record with all these facts, you'll bury all of us.
If he doesn't come out on record, I am providing the facts.
Tony, you're just going to just bury all of us, man.
What was your response to that?
There it is.
That was it. You just bury all of us, man. Well, the media is trying to unbury Joe. But what I'm worried about is this is the second time in a row the Democrats have nominated a criminal to be president of the United States. And the second time in a row, we're going right up to Election Day thinking that they're going to win. If Joe Biden wins, how easy will it be for Nancy Pelosi to go over and say, Joe, we've got all this evidence. It doesn't look good. We don't want to impeach a president of our own party. Just nominate an attorney general, you know, won't pursue this, and we'll get him approved. And then you resign and Kamala will take over. I don't think that's all that far fetched.
It's actually really not. I think it's very possible.
So my question then is,
who does Kamala how the hell pick?
For vice president?
Yeah, that's what Hillary.
Maisie Hirono.
AOC.
Yeah. No, she's not old enough.
She's not old enough.
Yeah, Hillary might actually be a good choice. Because I'm just kidding with Maisie Hirono. Even Kamala wouldn't put that dingbat in the office.
Is she the Hawaiian senator?
Yep.
Okay. I know who you mean.
Yep. Yep. The one who decided that saying your sexual preference is insulting. You can't call it sexual preference. That's insulting. Because she saw some idiot with a blue check mark on Twitter say that. So she never has an original thought. I think the closest thing to original thought she had was when she was voting for Amy Coney Barrett. And she had the classlessness to say on the floor of the Senate, my vote is hell no. Hell no. That's how she voted.
Well, she was definite.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think they have a hell no button. I think they just have yes and no.
Now my question though is how the hell could Trump be losing? I mean, how could he be losing? You guys have seen the rallies. This guy's pulling 40,000 people at rallies in blue states. You know, Michigan and Wisconsin today. It's insane the amount of people that are showing up. And if you go to my webpage, Zip Allen on Facebook, I've got a picture of the Biden rally that you might have seen on the news today, where he talked for all of like 17 minutes straight. It was impressive, you know, especially since Trump's doing 3 hour and a half rallies today in three different states. Biden spoke for 17 whole minutes in Georgia. And like I said, they had 40 white circles lined up on the yard. There's about another 10 people straggling around. That was his rally today, maybe 50 people there. I was reading, trying to find out his big ones. John Bon Jovi was not the biggest rally that Biden has had. Apparently, there was 230 cars, 12 people, and 7 pumpkins at that one. So
were the pumpkins carved?
No, they were just plain pumpkins. They weren't jack-o'-lanterns. Just plain pumpkins. Okay. Standing behind
jack-o'-lantern lives Bon Jovi. Matter.
So 230 cars, so you say there's 2 people and half of them. You know, they might have been pushing 370, 380 people. The biggest rally he's had this year was not when he had 130 cars at a rally. It was when Obama had 400 whole people show up at one in Philadelphia. 400 people, that's all Obama could draw. If Obama can, there's 400 people in line at the restroom at a Trump rally. How the hell can these people be ahead? I think this is all suppression polling meant to get us all depressed. Because Biden showing up in Georgia today, they can't seriously think they have a chance in Georgia. You know, they just can't. I think Biden thinks either he's believing this bullshit or he knows he's in big, big trouble and he's going to Georgia to make himself look confident. Look, I'm in a red state. Who would be in a red state unless you're way ahead? And I think that's the psychology of this.
Did you hear Obama trash Trump?
Oh, yeah, I heard him.
Tweeting at the TV doesn't fix things. Watching TV all day doesn't fix things. Making stuff up doesn't fix things. You've got to have a plan if you want to make people's lives better.
Yeah, like spending the night with Reggie Love, your body man, when Benghazi was going on. Yeah, that fixed things all right. You fucking piece of shit joke. Barry Sotero. Oh, I think Trump was right years ago. I don't think he was born here. But anyway, one of the interesting things that's going on in politics is the number of people, since this has come out about Bob Alinsky and Joe Biden and all the money from China, Russia, his son being a coke pervert with little girls from China. By the way, there's also a picture of Nancy Pelosi's son with a tied up Chinese girl and a bunch of cocaine. So this is not just the Bidens being perverts. Nancy Pelosi's son was in on this shit. But I'm wondering why so many people were Googling how to change my vote. Because, you know, this early voting is a problem. There are people voting before the first debate in September. It's way too early. You know, I don't think early voting should start until like, yesterday.
Well, I mean, my thought was for voting was that they should devote a weekend to it, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And that's even less.
You don't get in the way of anybody's, you know, religious holidays or anything like that, but you get it all done at once. And hey. I don't know. I always thought that was smarter, but what do I know?
But even if you gave them a whole week, that's fine. But there's some of these states that open voting in September. So now people are going like, oh, shit, I voted for Biden and turns out he's a crook. Well, we're better to have a guy who knows how to bring the economy back than putting another crook in there. So I want to change my vote. I have an article from WFLA in Florida here about it. Apparently, in Florida, the people asking if I can change my vote is going way up, like over 200%. And I know Pennsylvania, alone, there was something like 200,000 Google inquiries from the state of people wanting to know how to change their vote. And Trump found out about that, so he tweeted it out. Strongly trending on Google. And, of course, then my thing moved. Okay. After the second debate, strongly trending since immediately after the second debate is the question, can I change my vote? This refers changing it to me. The answer in most states is yes, go do it. Most important election of your life. Well, it's not in most states, Mr. Trump. And he tweeted out later on, it was six states. He still wasn't right then, but he's got the right idea. It's actually seven states where you can do it. The states where you're allowed to change your vote is, let's see, Connecticut, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, New York, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The article says, however, if voters in those states want to make a change, it's not always simple. Then they go on and explain two states where it is really simple, and they don't say shit about the other five. So I can't tell you without a lot of research I don't have time to do. But according to them, people in Minnesota can change their ballots by Tuesday. It's not a big problem. And in Pennsylvania, absentee voters can switch their ballot up to Election Day also, but you got to do it in person. So you show up, you say, I turned in an absentee ballot. I don't want it counted. They get your name. They put your name in the computer. Boom, that ballot gets rejected. You go vote in the booth. So it's easy to do in those two states.
Well, you know, I don't understand. In my opinion, Election Day is Election Day, and everyone should just fucking vote on Election Day, and just that's why we have Election
Day. I'll tell you what. If it was Election Day, you would not have. See, that was always the thing. Democrats wanted a bigger turnout because they always do better with a bigger turnout because you get more stupid people come out and vote. I stood in line on Thursday last week for a little over an hour to get the vote in the middle of the day on a Thursday.
Well, but
early voting started in Florida on Monday.
Yes.
I figured by Thursday it'll be calmed down.
Yeah, but you have to remember.
Election day, I'd be there for fucking five hours.
You wouldn't be, though. Not all the polling places are open for early voting. So there's people like here. We have one place for all of our area where there's usually, 200. So, of course, there's going to be lines. But on Election Day, it would be just like any other election.
Shut up.
It's true.
Just shut up. You're right.
I'm gonna walk right in. Vote.
I hate when you're right.
Yep. It'll take me 30 seconds to vote. It's gonna take me longer to sign my name in the book. I think you're only in line. I
think you have to sign your own name.
Yes.
There's only like a half a dozen early voting places in Pasco County, and if it was regular election day, there'd be 50 or 60.
So. Correct. So I don't want to hear any of these people that are bitching. Fair. Oh, I have to stand in fucking line.
Well, I still like CB's idea. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I still and like then, election day. That's Monday's why we off. Have election day.
Monday's off, and then you have Tuesday election day. So you have 4 days to vote: Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday.
No, because I'm going to listen to this shit for fucking 4 days on the news. But they'll be trying to call it Saturday afternoon. One fucking network will be trying to call it fucking Sunday. It'd be a disaster.
I just don't see how he's losing.
See, I don't care about who gets to make their prediction first. That doesn't matter to me at all. It's giving people ample opportunity to vote. And if you give them Friday, Saturday, Sunday to be able to vote, that's plenty. You don't get in the way of anybody's religious holiday or anything like that. Everybody
fucking religious holidays are on a Tuesday. That's why it's a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday. And you get like in most states, 10, 8, 10, 12 hours to vote. You can't get up and go vote in their 8, 10 hour window on a Tuesday. It's a fucking Tuesday. What do you do on a Tuesday?
Hey, Slim.
What?
Why not just make it easy
Most
for
Republicans
people?
Have jobs.
What is wrong with making it easy for people to vote?
I have a job too. I know that you're, but that's
but
why we have
election. What's wrong with it?
Nothing. But
explain
we have election.
To me why it's
Nothing.
Wrong.
It's not okay. Wrong, but we have election day. We have election day for a reason because that's the day we should have our election.
Some of these states give you a month to vote early. I mean,
that's
ridiculous.
What's stupid. That's stupid. Yeah. We have election day for a reason. We might as well just call it election year.
I've got a election fun fact for you.
Things in the world.
Oh, well, it's not a bad thing. It's just I don't want to hear the people complain about, I had to stand in line for 4 hours to vote. Then vote on election day, and you won't have to stand in line because there'll be 200 extra places fucking open that you can vote at.
Slim, didn't you say somebody hacked Trump's Twitter or something?
They hacked his Twitter account, yes. And it was
because the password was what?
MAGA 2020.
Yeah, boy, nobody could have guessed that one, huh?
Yeah. Luckily, the person who hacked it did no harm to the account. However, they did make sure they took screenshots to prove that they were able to hack it. They did turn the password over to the Department of Secret Service.
So, all right. Well, I got another fun fact for you. At the Trump rallies.
I would have posted something. I know I would have posted something.
At the Trump rallies since the last debate, the Wi-Fi is provided by the campaign for the media to use and for people to send out their pictures of the giant crowds and all that stuff. The Wi-Fi was called Make America Great Again. So you open up your phone, you find Make America Great Again, you pick that one. Then you have to put in the password. The password for the Trump Wi-Fi that the media has to put into their phones to access the internet is, who built the cages, Joe?
That's an awful long password.
I don't care. It makes a point. The media doesn't ask them. The media's the media goes, oh, yeah, Trump built them cages. No, those were from Obama. No, just keep lying about it. People believe us. That's what they've been doing for 4 years on everything. And I'm sick and tired of it.
And if they were smart, they jammed everyone's cell phone signal, so they had to use the Wi-Fi and use the password in order to put anything out on the air.
I think it's funny.
It's hilarious. So
we got a favorite criminal of the week this week and a stupid
Florida.
Criminal.
Florida?
No.
Oh, Florida?
I didn't do the guy with the bulldozer running over Biden signs because that pissed me off, too. You know, first of all, he stole the bulldozer. Well, that's a crime right there. Secondly, he messed up people's yards. Okay. You know, if the assholes are stealing your Trump signs, just put some tax in it or electrify it a little bit. Give them a little shock. Give them a bloody finger, something like that. Don't ruin people's friggin' yards. Okay. They're allowed to be Democrats in this country. I know a lot of Democrats that aren't friggin' morons. Unfortunately, the 20% of Democrats are total morons, and that's who's about to take over if Trump loses. But this guy, who is my favorite criminal of the week, had nothing to do with politics whatsoever. He's from L.A., and he was in a police car chase. You know, the kind that they show on the helicopters and the whole country watches.
They chase you.
Ever since O.J. Simpson, every time there's a car chase in L.A., it's all over the internet, you know? And this
That's
guy,
they have one a day.
Well, yeah, they do. In the city of Los Angeles, residents have several sports to choose from on any given night. They got the Lakers, the Clippers, the Kings, the Rams, the Chargers, the Galaxy, Los Angeles FC, Dodgers, Angels, and one of the most fun sports of all to watch, police chases.
Oh, absolutely. These
police chases happen so often in LA. They really should just have their own cable channel.
They do have a subscription. There's a subscription service.
I guarantee the ratings will be through the roof. In fact, it's so common that local news stations broadcasting these chases with graphics displaying the GPS location, speed of the car involved in the chase, right on the screen. One of the greatest things, and I've seen that, so I can guarantee you that's true. I've watched police chases because I have no life. It's COVID. One of the great things about, I love daytime ones, you know. One of the great things about them is that you just never know what you're going to see. Last Tuesday, Glenora Police Department outside L.A. were in hot pursuit of a man wanted for a theft at Home Depot. Nothing unusual about that in Los Angeles. However, as the guy reached the city of El Monte, he'd built up such a lead on the pursuing police, because they're not allowed to go too fast, you know. You have to watch out for the people. He pulled the ultimate power move. The dude stopped at a gas station and filled up his tank. On top of that, not only did he stop at the gas station to fill up in the middle of a police chase, he went inside the station and paid.
What a nice guy.
I love that.
He didn't want driving off with gas on his car.
Yeah, well, he probably had one of those frequent filler cards and he wanted his points. You know?
I love that. He went inside and paid. And he didn't even pay at the pump. I mean, I always pay at the pump, and I'm not stealing anything.
The guy had also stopped earlier in the chase and spoke to a driver in a white truck. And according to ABC 7 in LA, he had asked the guy for some gas money.
In this police chase, I could use some help.
Man,
well, that's why I had to steal the shit from Home Depot. He didn't have any cash. But this guy had the balls to stop and fill up with gas. 2 hours, and then authorities eventually gave up the chase out of concern for public safety.
Oh, they did?
Yes. They let him go. He got, they'll get him eventually. But that is my favorite criminal of the week. This guy had enough balls to stop and fill up his gas tank.
You know, speaking of that whole chase thing out there in California, there is a, I don't know the name of the company now, but there is a company that does have a subscription-based service that people can, you know, pay money
to watch chases.
To watch the chases, and they alert you when there's a chase, and you can, you know, use their app and everything.
Get alerts on your phone.
Oh, yeah, you get alerts and everything. Yeah. Yep, watch it on your phone. The whole, I mean, it is, you're not kidding when you say it's a whole culture in its own. I mean, police chases in California is like the number one thing. And most of the time, I can pretty much guarantee you, any time of the day, pretty much any day, you can catch a police chase on Facebook Live. There's usually some sort of police chase going on somewhere in California on a Facebook Live.
I've seen quite a few. I've seen at least a half a dozen.
Oh, yeah. At least once a day, once or twice a day.
Sheltered life.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Watch Facebook Live.
So my stupid criminal of the week.
Well, that was stupid, that guy.
Well, no, that guy wasn't stupid. That was genius. I mean, it was brilliant. I loved it. He had balls. Plus, they gave up on him. The ones without balls were the Los Angeles people in charge of the police. Oh, don't chase him anymore. It's enough. It's not OJ. He didn't kill anybody. OJ didn't kill anybody. Oh, yeah. We're sorry we said that.
Well, OJ didn't go fast. He was only going like 30 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that was the low speed chase.
What was his name? Al? Former football player that was driving.
I don't remember.
He wasn't going too fast. But anyway, our stupid criminal of the week this week is a lawyer. So obviously we're not going to miss his ass when he goes to jail.
Maybe.
He's depends a lawyer. Was
he a defense
my
lawyer?
My nephew. I'll miss him.
Oh. It was a detective on October 20th spotted a man who looked like a serial bank robber being pursued by police. They quickly deduced they had the right man from prepared notes for bank tellers and a ball peen hammer in his waistband. That was his modus operandi. They also learned the suspect. Yeah, he's telling him it was a gun. But Aaron Patrick Honecker, 41, is a lawyer who previously represented parties in business and creditor cases. He was accused of using the same tactics in attempting robbery of 6 banks. He had passed a handwritten note to the teller with instructions like, "Don't touch the alarm or call the police. Empty all your 50s and 100s and put it in an envelope. Keep calm. Give me all the money in the drawer. I have a gun." And he pretty much wrote the same note for every bank. What's striking is he doesn't appear to have made too much money from the robberies. This guy had been a Florida bar member since January of 2008. Oh, this is a Florida guy. I didn't notice. I apologize. Well, that figures. Stupid criminal of the week, Florida. That makes sense.
Yeah.
He lists his law school degree as coming from Duke University School of Law in 2006, but that was a lie. He was like a congressperson or a senator. Duke has no track record of such a degree. He apparently graduated from Wake Forest in 2005, which is kind of a stupid lie because Wake Forest is a respected law school. But Duke sounds better than Wake Forest. So
they have a basketball team.
So does Wake Forest.
Yeah, but Duke has a good basketball
team. Wake Forest beats Duke once every 15 or so years.
Yeah.
You know, once in a while. They play twice a year. Anyway, his colleagues spoke highly of him as intelligent, even brilliant, as a lawyer. But he was a business litigator and trial lawyer. So he represented the Florida gaming centers and Casino Miami Hi-Li in a $155 million sale through a bankruptcy court. He represented the trustee and successor agent to the FDIC of the fifth largest bank holding company failure in the United States and implemented a plan of reorganization through a $1.6 billion equity infusion transaction with Merrill Lynch. Look, if this guy is doing deals this big, this guy's making money. They list like 5 or 6 other successful ones, including with Time Warner, Bell Canada, Circuit City. I mean, this guy had big clients.
Well, Circuit City's bankrupt.
Yeah, but I mean, well, that's the kind of stuff he did. Bankruptcy or reorganization.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a good one then.
Well, they're saying this guy, in all his robberies, he walked away. He walked away with very little money. Apparently, the biggest amount he walked away with was $1,050.
He's not a very good robber.
Well, even if he was probably just doing it for the thrill.
You got $5,000 and six robberies even. Is that enough to do 20 years?
No. But he will.
Well, he's a serial robber, I think, is the thing.
I missed the part. Did he just cut off on it?
Yeah.
He got a ball peen hammer.
I think he did it for the thrill.
He said the ball peen hammer was a gun.
Yeah.
So that makes it. That's why he's getting 20 years.
Guy's in shape. He's only 41. He's representing huge clients. He has a good rep, even though he lied about what college he went to.
Yeah, why would you lie?
And I just think I'm going to start robbing banks.
I have another stupid criminal that we don't have.
There's one here he's robbing. All he has on is his COVID mask. Like, they're not going to figure out who the fuck you are.
That's all he's wearing is a COVID mask?
Yeah, there's one here where he's got a full mask on and a hat. But there's another one where he's sliding the note to the teller. He's in a black T-shirt. He's got a little gold wrist chain thing on like I got. And his COVID mask. That's it. Well, I assume he has pants on, but he can't see.
I was kind of wondering if he was wearing a mask. Maybe that.
I knew you'd go there. Nah,
made sense.
All right. And then the last story I have here, it's a heart-wrenching story. It's sad. CB found it, so if the story upsets you, please blame him.
Yep, my fault. I'll take full credit for it.
Just let me tell you with all the sincerity, fake sincerity I can muster. If you're leaving a family member's body to science out of, you know, whatever motivation you have, you know, if it's for science advancement, for her disease, or for medical students to learn how to be good doctors, whatever the reason is, I hope you don't end up like Jim Stauffer's mom.
Is that like Stifler's mom?
I was just going to wonder if it was just
not
like
Stifler's mom. Stauffer's mom. Believe me, I got her picture here. She don't look nothing like Stifler's mom. Okay. I was just fine with Stifler's mom. This is not Stifler's mom.
No, it's definitely not.
This is from Arizona.
This is Doris.
He's one of many families to give the bodies of loved ones to the Biological Resource Center with the understanding their bodies will be used for scientific purposes, probably a medical school. That's the most common use. But there's dozens of families that don't know what happened to the bodies of their loved ones they donated to the Biological Resource Center. But Jim Stauffer knows what happened to Doris.
She's the exploder. Oh, that Dora the Explorer. Sorry.
He's upset. His mother learned his mother's body was sold to the military for blast testing.
Oh, Doris the Exploder.
He does know. He almost wishes he didn't. He donated his mother's body in 2013 after she battled Alzheimer's. He trusted the Biological Resource Center to get her brain.
She was sitting down.
He wanted her brain to go to neurologists so they could learn more about the disease. But instead, her body, according to Reuters, was sold to the U.S. military to test explosives.
This is great.
It gets better.
Nothing is better than finding out that you can send somebody to be blown up by explosives.
Well, if you got the power of attorney,
you've got a family member you're not real happy with.
Yeah, there's an idea.
I'm loving this.
Mom, are you listening?
Not necessarily.
I have that
Mom.
Kind of juice. Anyway, she was supposedly strapped in a chair in some sort of apparatus. And a detonation took place underneath her body to get an idea of what the human body goes through when a vehicle is hit by an IED. Jim says, every time I dream about my mom, I told you she was a quiet person. This person in my dream is angry.
Oh, fuck. He blew this lady up.
Memories of things she loved are still on display, including a small box filled with the only 6 ounces of her ashes her son could get back.
Wasn't anything else.
6 ounces.
The exploder.
Goodbye. He stole a lot more than my mom's body. Every time there's a memory, every time there's a photograph, you look at it, and there's this ugly thing that happened just right there staring at you.
What do you think he does on the 4th of July?
I don't think he's shooting off fireworks anymore.
Is there a website for this place to I'm working.
Well, Biological Resource Center owner was sentenced to probation after pleading guilty to running an illegal enterprise in 2015. I don't know if it, I don't think it was the Biological Resource Center. They should have noted that in the story, but apparently the guy who ran it was a little shady anyway. But Jesus God, you give your mother's body to science and
well, that was science
for Alzheimer's research.
Yeah, it's science.
Something worthwhile, something magnanimous.
Well, that's still science. They
something
blew her
caring.
Up.
And the army strapped her ass in a chair and blew up an IED under her butt.
Fucking awesome.
Oh, I'm sorry we had to do this story, but CB, thank you for finding it.
CB,
it was
I have
the
tears.
Best one of the night.
I have tears. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, now next week's election night.
Where's so, mom? Everywhere.
Absolutely nothing to say because there won't be anything decided.
Ah, but we got to be here because we got to see what happens and see if
we
there's chaos.
We won't know
and,
what happens.
We'll see be. What's going on. Chaos.
Yeah, that's true.
That's, you know, we got to check in. We'll be watching.
It's called North Carolina by.
Yeah, 4 points. I was going to ask about that.
If they call North Carolina by 4 points for Trump at 8:15, it's going to be a good night. But that's about all we'll know by 10 o'clock, I think. So we're going to close the show with a song dedicated to the Biden criminal enterprise. Done by our friends down under who have a new album coming out because they pay me to promote it. AC/DC.
Holy shit, they must have run out of drug money.
And they got nobody to blow up.
No.
Say goodbye to the grandchildren.
Oh. Bye, Wesley. Bye, LJ. Don't listen.
And don't blow up your grandfather when he dies.
You know, I might volunteer for that.
Oh
yeah,
God!
Do it. This is awesome. I'm
Maybe
really I'm looking.
Get video.
Oh, that'd be better yet.
You're killing me.
This is great.
Good night.
Oh, good. We can blow you up then.
Please go ahead.
Play the damn song before I have a stroke.
Blow up.
Wow!